Thank you for listening to today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about our church and our ministry, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org. We pray that you were both blessed and encouraged by today's message.
Just this week, I got an email from Ukraine, and the woman that sent me the email doesn't speak any English, so she ran her Russian email through the translator online, and the address was supposed to start like this: Dear Alice. But because it went through the translator, it came out Expensive Alice. And it goes along with what Dave is talking about today. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. We've been bought with a price. And you know, I was thinking about this. I love old cars. And for some reason, I'm not a big computer person, but I looked online and looked at the Rogers Car Museum website the other day. And they have a car for sale. It's about $350,000. And if you own that car, now I don't lust after too much material stuff, but I wanted that car. And if I had that car, I would not drive through McDonald's drive-thru and throw my wrappers in the back. I wouldn't park it out in the winter elements of Minnesota. I would take care of it. Expensive, brothers and sisters. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies, expensive brothers and sisters, because he has paid the price. He paid a price that's never been paid before. Never been paid before. And we want to honor him. And instead, very often, we degrade ourselves as if we were not expensive Alice or expensive Dave. And I believe that the Lord is really calling us, if you struggle with that, to a place of repentance, to ask him to forgive you for hating yourself, to forgive you for speaking against yourself, for setting yourself up for failure, for thinking only as human. We don't have the excuse anymore, brothers and sisters, expensive brothers and sisters, that we are only human. We are not. We are supernatural. And as Dave said, we're living in a period where nobody has ever lived before. We are in the time of signs and wonders, of the miraculous, of the amazing. And it's not just for you. It's for the kingdom of God to come to earth. And he wants us all to cooperate with that and stop thinking of ourselves as so small and stop looking at our flaws and rest in his strength in our weakness, because you are expensive. You've been bought with a price. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You can be seated. You know, there was a time where that word would have been taken out of context, and we would have thought, well, it's all about me. It's all about my ability to perform. It's all about what I can do, how I can be. In the context of what we're understanding, what we're learning in this day, in this hour, that word means that it doesn't really matter what you've done. That you are beloved of the Father. You're amazing to him just because you're a son and you're a daughter, and he's a daddy. How many remember the amazement that you had the first time you held, those of you that have, the first time that you held your son or your daughter in your hands? The first time that still bloody, still hooked up and everything, you know? And I don't want to be gross about this, but how many remember that? I was there at my kids' birth. Steve is here with, you know, Steve is my number three son, and Steve was born dead. Did you know that? Well, Susie says near dead. He was all gray. He wasn't breathing. The cord was around his neck. And it was a home birth. There was a pool of blood. So he was near dead. But I remember when Steve, as he wasn't breathing, as he was blue, as he was just not really in very good shape, the midwife gave him like a number 2 out of 10, something like that, you know, that, yeah, he's there, but not very good shape. And I remember she said, pray. And we prayed, and Susie had great faith. She just reached down. I mean, you know, this is right in the thick of it here. She reaches down and starts praying and commanding life into Steve's life. And I remember praying, and we just had faith where we said, you will live, you will not die. And I remember the first time you took a breath, Steve. What a relief. It was a relief, and Steve has just been, you know, just a blessing. Steve is, how many love Steve? And Steve is, he's a drummer. He drums for a Christian band, and God has a call on Steve's life. But the amazement of a father, when Steve, up to that point, Steve had been nothing but trouble. He was late. He was bigger than all the rest. He put a scare into us. He was nothing but trouble. But I'll tell you what, when I looked on him and he took his first breath, as a dad, I loved him. You're amazing, not because of what you've done, not because of your mistakes, not because of your existence to this point. You're amazing because you are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. If you have come into relationship, if you have given your life, if you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, if you died with Christ, been buried with him, and been risen by the same power, the same glory that raised Jesus from the dead, if that's who you are, you're a son and you're a daughter of the Most High God. Your significance is just because you're a son and you're a daughter. How do you see yourself? How do you see yourself? What do you see when you look at yourself in the mirror? Do you see yourself as a son? Do you see yourself as a slave? You see, the way you answer that question is going to make all the difference in the world. Are you just a servant or are you a son? Are you a joint heir with Christ? See, if you are a son and you're a joint heir, all of a sudden you have ownership in something that's bigger than you. See, as a self-employed for 25 years, I was a self-employed contractor. Self-employed is just a fancy way of saying that you have more bosses than everybody else ever thought of having. I mean, I answered to so many bosses, I thought I was getting away from that and I was going to be independent. No. But when you're self-employed, you have ownership in something. Your attitude changes. The way you work, the way you serve is different than if you're a hireling. See, if you're a hireling, if you're just working for somebody and things start going bad, there isn't a lot of personal risk. There's not a lot of personal investment. Oh, you might lose your job. Go find another one. But when you own the thing, it's a bigger deal. When you've put blood, sweat, and tears into building something, it's a bigger deal. The attitude that you have, how you answer that question, are you a son and a daughter, or are you a slave? Are you just a servant? Or am I just here on earth to serve God? Am I just on earth here to be a slave to God's will? See, it's more than that. If you have a revelation of being a son and a daughter of the Most High God, all of a sudden you have ownership in the kingdom of God. You don't serve out of, well, it's all his. You serve out of, it's mine. See, there's a difference. How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as owning and stewarding the kingdom of God that's been given to you? If you're a son, if you're a daughter, all of a sudden your daughters and your sons become something bigger than just your family. You're given a stewardship of something that's precious in the kingdom of God, something that God looks on and sees potential and sees possibility, that God has a dream for them. See, and if you're a son and a daughter of the Most High God, all of a sudden, you're not just giving them as servants to the Most High God. You're giving them as sons and daughters that Father has a dream for. See, that's the amazing thing about real Christianity. That's the amazing thing when you get out of a religion mode into a relationship mode. That's when you make this transference from, well, I'm just a lowly slave, to I'm a son and I'm a daughter. I have an heir. I have a joint heir with Jesus. I have an inheritance. I have ownership in this kingdom. You steward things differently when you're an owner versus when you're just a hired hand. And then, see, this isn't criticizing people that are working for a living as hired hands. One of my favorite jobs that I ever had when I was just a hired hand. But I understood that I had an ownership in that company. See, I looked at it differently. It wasn't me versus the company. It was, I am serving these owners with something that I had. And I was able to do things above and beyond what I was called to do. Why? Because I was trying to get promotion in the company? Not at all. It's because I understood something about the kingdom that I was owning and that I was stewarding, even in serving the person that owned the company. Is this making sense?
Yeah.
See, there's got, how do you see yourself? What you see, what you understand in here, not what you can mentally assent to, not that you can look at the scriptures and the teachings and bring up some kind of a doctrine, but how can you relate to the very heart of a Father who loves you? See, it makes all the difference in the world. Oh, God, I'm amazed by you. I'm amazed by the redemption of Jesus that's in Christ Jesus. I'm amazed today that I'm standing here preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know where I could have been. I know what my life was like. I know the values that I held, the lifestyle that I had. And it didn't have anything, my plans, my purposes weren't anything about coming and preaching. Come on, I'm amazed. Are you amazed that you're sitting here this morning? Or are you just figuring you earned it, that you deserved it? For the first probably 20 years of my Christian life, I tried to figure out, why is it, God? Why did you choose me? I never figured it out. But I've quit asking the question. Because there was nothing in me. There was nothing that I had to bring to the plate. There was nothing that I had to deserve this inheritance that I've received freely. Oh, are you amazed yet? Probably one of the most moving sermons preached during the Second Great Awakening was by Jonathan Edwards, and I've probably alluded to it here before. The sermon was called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And you know, there's something about the Second Great Awakening that I don't quite get. The motivation in the Second Great Awakening was fear. The more the preachers could preach fear, the more they could preach the realities of hell, the more that the picture that he painted was that you are just like a spider in the hand of a God who just detests you. And you're held over a flaming lake of fire that's hell. And the only thing that's holding you in his hand is whether God decides to loosen his grip or to keep his grip on you. Jonathan Edwards preached this sermon. He had preached it before. Now, I probably wouldn't have done real good in those days, because what they'd do is they'd climb up in their crow's nest. They'd have their sermon all printed out. They'd stand up there with their big wigs on, and they would read their sermon. trying, not always. Some really had breakthrough and they started bringing emotion into it. But they would read it unemotionally because they didn't want to move people with emotion. And he read his sermon. He had read it before, and it didn't have the same effect. But the motivation, that day, when he read that sermon, all of a sudden people started to see a picture that they were held in the hand of God like a spider. How many here would want to hold on to a spider? Would you drop that spider into the pit, or would you hold on to it? If you're a spider lover, I guess you'll answer that one way. But for most of us, you know. For me, it'd be a snake. If I was holding a snake. Come on, are you amazed? Are you amazed that you're here today? Are you amazed with the salvation that you have? Are you amazed? Will it never quit? Will it never cease to amaze you? The goodness of God. We sang that song, He's Good. Do you believe it? Do you let the temporary circumstances of pain of life, do you let that try to convince you that God is good for other people, but He's not good for you? Come on, He's good. And I'm amazed at His goodness. I just feel like I just got to stir something in us that gives us a vision for the magnificence of the grace of God. The magnificence of His love for you. Somehow this amazement has got to be awakened in our hearts. Somehow through the cares of life and just the issues of life, we lose this amazement, this passion, this desire, this revelation. See, and I refuse to try to motivate you by fear. Yes, hell is a reality. Yes, hell is an existence that people will be tormented for an eternity. I believe there's scripture that bears that out. There's some that will deny that. Hell is a reality. But I will not try to motivate you by the perils of hell. I will motivate you by the goodness of God. I will tell you of His goodness. I'll tell you of His splendor. I'll tell you of His majesty. I'll tell you of the beauty of His holiness. His love for you. He's worthy to be worshipped and praised because He loves you. Because He's intimate with you, the God of all creation. Come on. Loves you. Loves you. He loves you. Expensive Alice, He loves you. I have two words in my heart for today that I'm probably going to be going there preaching, but these are just things that I want us to consider as we go through the service today. There's two things. One is vision, and the other is awaken. I believe in this house, God wants to awaken vision. God wants to breathe some life into some dead places of our hearts. God wants us to see the amazement. God wants to blow upon the cooling embers of many, many hearts in this house. He wants to blow life. He wants to blow. You know what happens when you blow upon embers? They get hot. And there is an awakening that God wants to bring into our hearts, into our lives. There's an awakening God wants to bring to my heart. And when I'm talking, when I'm preaching these things, I want to be first in line. Thank you, Father. Can we just stand? I've got a bit of a throat that's not working properly today, but could we stand and just give a shout because of his amazement? Yeah, yeah. Jesus, Jesus. It's you. It's you. It's you. Your love, your mercy. You're amazing, oh God. The way you are, who you are. Oh, the love that you poured out, the purpose, the destiny that you poured out, that you've called, that you've created with. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Yeah. Ho, ho. Oh, you're awesome. You're awesome. You're awesome. Ah, Jesus, thank you. Amen. You can be seated. Excuse me. Thank you. That's spontaneous worship. That's spontaneous praise for which he is worthy. He is so deserving. Amen. Well, welcome. If you're new here, if you've never been, who's never been to Living Waters Church before? This is your first time. Is there anybody here? Okay. Everybody's been here, then you're a little bit used to who we are. And we just so desire that every man, woman, and child that steps into this place would be embraced by the love of God, by a real God who has a real embrace. That is close. That's our heart's desire. That's our passion. So we're just great to see everybody. Welcome. Well, Guy, can you do... Oh, no video announcements? Okay. Surprise. Well, in that case, read your bulletins. You know, there really are a couple of things. Well, I think I'm going to preach a little bit on these things, so I'll just hang on with that. Women's retreat, awesome. How many remember the women's retreat last year? It was just an awesome release. And it's going to be great this time. Men's breakfast next Saturday. It was just such a wonderful time. Last time, we're just seeing God breathing on some of these things. Thank you for the Healing Fire meetings. We're going to give a little bit of time for some testimonies in just a moment here. If you were touched, and again, I just believe that an inner healing is as significant as an outer healing. And I just want to give some time for testimony a little bit later on. Random acts of kindness. Missionaries to Ukraine. Read your bulletins. Deb Christofferson. Where's Deb? There she is. Come on up, Deb. And Deb is going to be leading a women's Bible study. And you've got a short thing on that? Yeah, give her a hand.
I've got a little promo we'll watch in just a minute. If you haven't been in a Beth Moore study, I just want to kind of tell you what it's like and what you can expect. And in the 2 hours we're together, we will listen to her teaching. And then the second hour, we will discuss, and we get workbooks. And in order to get the full benefit out of her studies, you need to study at least a half hour, 5 days a week, at least. And, of course, the more you put into it, the more you get out of it. If you're not a workbook person, you could come and just listen to the DVDs and be blessed and listen to the discussion. So I'm not saying you have to, but I'm just saying the more you put into it, the more you'll get out of it. So the sign-up sheet is in the back. We're starting on the 17th. The workbooks are $20, and you can put your check or whatever to Living Water in the envelope out there. So with that to be said, I just want to say that I've done about two of her studies, and what I like about them is they're so Holy Spirit-led. They are driven by the scriptures and studying the scriptures, but she does it in such a way that it doesn't regurgitate answers on the workbook. She her questions are just, they're Holy Spirit-led, and so the Spirit can come and pull on what he's doing in your life. It's just always brought me so close to the Lord, and usually the study itself isn't where he'll speak, it's where he takes me as I diligently study. So I'm expecting the Holy Spirit to show up and to reach us and speak to us. So with that said, we'll watch the promo.
All right. Gladys, come on up.
I just want to give a real short testimony. I have been through that study, and it is awesome. It is a lot of work, because you've got 45 minutes to an hour per day to do all the studying before you hit the actual lesson that she does on the DVD. But it is awesome, both the part about the Babylon and the part about the, second coming of Jesus. So I encourage the ladies to come.
All right, so that's going to be on Wednesday nights for how many? 4 weeks? 12 weeks. Yeah. Anyways, ran out of fingers. 12 weeks, and that. So that, you know, there's just a hunger in the ladies to just be changed, and that's really what we're after: transformation of hearts. Leslie, come on up.
Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. God's been stirring the word alabaster to me, so I looked it up this morning. And alabaster is a beautiful stone, and it's most often in the biblical times, it was for ointment or perfumes. And it was not cheap. It was expensive. And this lady brought her offering of love to Jesus in an alabaster jar. And she offered it to him, and she used it up on him. It was extravagant. It was an extravagant thing to do. And when we give our money to the Lord, when it's offering time, that can be our alabaster box, our alabaster offering to God. It's our offering of love to him, our pouring out from ourselves to him. And so that's what I'm purposing for my offering today when it goes in. That it's my extravagant offering to him. It doesn't really matter about the amount. It's the extravagance of your love for him as you put it in. Well, God, you've been doing amazing things this morning. You have poured out your love in us. And I know people have been receiving it deep in their heart, deep in their spirits, not just in our minds, but deep inside. And Father, we just want to bless you. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love. And we just give to you back this way right now our offering. Lord, let it be blessed. Be blessed just as much as Jesus was blessed by this woman and her love. And we just connect our offering with our love for you. And if it's not the week when it's our time to put money in, God, I just pray that as the basket goes by, we will just put our love in there for you too. That's what you want. Thank you. Amen.
Thanks, Leslie. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to talk a little bit about why we do what we do. When it comes to some of the conferences that we've been having, it's just occurred to me that I don't know that we've really talked about it in this house, why we do what we do. The scripture, I was rocked by a scripture that it's a familiar scripture, but I was really rocked by it this week in a new way. And it's the scripture in Proverbs that says, without a vision, the people perish. Another translation will say, without a vision, the people will cast off restraints. And the teacher that I was listening to talked about, I've never quite understood that. You ever have scriptures that you just kind of accept it and you think you know and you kind of, it's okay? But there's a time where something just speaks so to your spirit. And what the teacher of this scripture, what he was teaching is that without a vision, the people cast off restraint. Vision takes work. How many know that if you have a vision, if you've got something, and vision really starts in your heart, vision isn't just merely an external facility. It's the eyes of your heart seeing something that you want to press towards. See, if you want to see the love of God the way He loves you, you're going to have to battle for that thing. You're going to have to discipline yourself to see and to focus on the way that God sees you rather than on how you see you. But without that vision, you're going to cast off the discipline that it takes to walk in that. Cast off the restraints. The restraints are really are, it's a channeling. It's a way that you fashion your life to walk in agreement with the vision that God's put in your heart. Does that make sense? If you don't have vision, you're not going to want to pay the price. And there is a price. Your salvation is free. It's absolutely free. Your favor is absolutely free. But it will cost you your life to bring that kingdom reality to where you walk day by day. How many want to have what you believe is true in heaven be real in your walk day by day? Yeah. I mean, isn't that the point of all this? I mean, God's got it in heaven. That's not where these things are needed. They're needed here. And the visions that God's put in your heart, and I believe that God has created each and every one of you with a dream. God has created the individual with a dream. That when He fashioned you in your mother's womb, He had a dream that He placed in you. And it's a mystery, but it's, what does the scripture say? It's the pleasure of God to hide a matter, but it's the pleasure of kings to search it out. You're kings and priests searching out the mystery, the purpose for which you've been created. And there's this vision that needs to be awakened in the hearts of men, women, and children. There's vision that needs to be stirred up. Why has God created me? Why is it that I exist? What is my purpose? See, that's something that all of us has got to come to answer. Now, I know that I've got many purposes. It's not like I've just got one purpose. Well, this is my job, and that's all I'm going to do. You know, it's my turn to do the dishes, and I'm not going to vacuum the living room. You know, maybe that was when I was a kid, when you had chores. I don't know. where you fought over those things, but see, and there's a vision, but there is something driving in your heart that's yet to be discovered. I know that when I two or three months before I took the pastorate here, when I stood at the pulpit and I put down my Bible and I just looked out over the body, the Lord just whispered something in my ear that has impacted me. It impacts me who I am. He said, possibilities. As I stood and I looked out over the congregation, the Lord whispered one word to my heart, and it was an answer to a prayer. He said, possibilities. And I just started to see the body of Christ as gold and gems and just all the beautiful things of the kingdom. There's kingdom resource that's been planted in you. But see, if you never get a vision for the kingdom resource and the diamond and the gem and the gold that He's planted in you, then those things will never be brought out of who you are and implanted into the work that God wants to do on planet Earth. So there's vision for an individual. There's vision that God had when God created the heavens and the earth. Put planet Earth here and stuck man and woman on planet Earth. And he had a vision. He had a dream. He had a purpose. His dream, his vision for mankind hasn't changed. It took a detour when Adam and Eve fell. And we had 4,000 years of kind of, you know, some instruction that came from something called the law until Jesus came, set us free from the law, and all of a sudden it did a heart transplant. If you're born again, you've had a heart transplant. The old stony heart has been taken out, and you've been given a new heart. Can you get a vision of that? Can you see that? Can you see how God has planted something different in you? See, and your vision, the vision of God for men, women, and women to be fruitful and multiply and take dominion over the earth hasn't changed. That's still the dream. That's a passion. That's a desire of his heart. Many people have asked the question, well, why? What are we here for? What's God's vision for mankind? And we've had answers like, well, he just wants fellowship. You know, he had angels for fellowship. Well, he just wanted somebody to walk in the cool of the day in a created garden. Come on. See, I believe that the when it comes right down to it, here's what I believe. Take it or leave it. I believe that the vision that God had when he created man in his image, partakers of the divine nature, get that, you're not mere human beings. You are, if you're born again, you are a partaker of divine nature, the very essence of God, that you partake of that. You walk in that, you eat that, you breathe that, you sleep that. The divine nature of God has been imparted to you. This is God's vision. For what purpose? I believe the ultimate vision that God had was he was looking for a bride for his son. I mean, you read Revelation 21, 22, and that's what it all comes back down to. Ah, look at let me show you the bride. And then he saw a city coming down from heaven. He saw a new heaven, a new earth, and how all that works together. I don't know how you and I are a bride and we're a temple and we're, you know, a new heaven and earth. I don't understand all that stuff. But I just know that in the spirit, things look different than what we can perceive on this side of death. So God has a vision for mankind. Well, here's the deal. God has a vision for Living Waters Church. Year 2010, in the middle of Minnesota, the city of Elk River, in a region in the Midwest, upper Midwest of Minnesota. You know, in our unique place. I love that picture. Thursday we were praying. Joanna had drawn this picture. And all of a sudden, I just saw, you know how you can see things, but then you can see things? I just saw the fire. I just began to understand and see the fire that's going out from this place. Now, does that sound arrogant that, well, we're part of that? We're not the only ones. We're part of a larger body of Christ. We're part of a larger vision that God has for this area. But we are a part. So what's our part? I believe one of the things that Living Waters is called to in this city, and I believe that we've been uniquely, we have a history, we have a DNA, we've got foundations that have been built for ever since the inception of this house, and the vision hasn't changed. I'm a new pastor coming in. Well, I'm getting old now, I guess. Anyways, I'm a newer pastor coming in, but the vision hasn't changed for Living Waters Church. It's still the same. And here's the call of Living Waters Church. The reason that we have radical worship, the radical shout, the reason that we have radical teachings that we will not back down on, that we're called to be a people of signs, wonders, and miracles, the reason for all that is because God has created us that way. God has fashioned us. It's in our DNA that we can be a forerunner in this area to release into a region the truths of revival. Now, some people struggle with the issue with the word revival. And it's probably because we judge revival by the things that we've seen, by the things that we've experienced. We see people barking like dogs at revivals. We don't want revival. That's silliness. We see people getting on the ground and rolling all around. That's revival. That's silliness. We don't want revival. You know, and we judge revival by the fruits of revival. Now, I'll tell you what. It's happened before. If you read revival history, revival in the United States has had people barking like dogs and rolling on the ground before. And people were astonished by it. But that's not the deal. We're not about the manifestations. When I talk about revival, what we're talking about is an awakening to the vision and to the purposes of God in planet Earth. Where something awakens inside of us, something that's been sleeping, something that's been slumbering, something that said, it's impossible, it can't be done. And all of a sudden, something of the Spirit of God hits the spirit of man, and we're awakened to some things that we would never have believed before. Where all of a sudden, a vision of who God is and what God is and the call that he has on this church and on this house becomes so big that the price that it costs to walk it out is no longer a sacrifice at all. It's a pleasure. See, and that's what vision does. Vision brings something from slavery to sonship. A vision is meant to serve somebody. Vision is all about how we serve, how we walk out, how I can love somebody. Why? Because that's God's vision. God wants to pour out his love. He wants to pour out who he is through mankind, through people. And we're just part of the vision. Our unique part in Elk River, Minnesota, is that we get to be a revival church. We get to allow God to awaken things in us that'll explode from this place and touch the regions. Prophetically, Alan Ross, a number of people have talked about an explosion in this place. An explosion isn't caused to destroy. The explosion that God wants to bring to this house is so that the firebrands can go out from here and set other places on fire with the truth, with the reality of a powerful gospel by a powerful God who radically loves people and wants to see people set free from the bondages, from divorce, from hatred, from wickedness, from pornography, from corruption, from greed, from everything that is just binding people. See, it's going to take a powerful gospel. It's going to take a radical people sold out to what God wants to do. Now, I'm not saying that Living Waters is on top of the heap of everybody else in the city. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we have a unique part to play. I have to excuse me, my voice is just kind of losing it here. But I hope you know the passion of my heart. And I hope that this vision of who you're called to be, if you consider yourselves a part of Living Waters Church, that it's about awakening something in this region. Just an awakening, something that's beyond the cross. Something that, now, you got to come to the cross. And I value the cross. I love the cross. Anybody who's heard me preach for 2 years knows my value of the cross. But there's got to come a place where we move on from the cross and we start to live the kind of life that Jesus died for. See, he died so that you could be resurrected by the same glory that raised Jesus from the dead, that we could walk in resurrected life. That we could love our families with resurrected life. That we could love our neighbors with resurrected life. that there'd be such a passion in our hearts that we see somebody that's got a broken leg and we just realize, man, they need that leg. Where something just so comes in us that we all of a sudden all fear is gone and we start to speak to the leg. I know this is uncomfortable for some people, but I'm telling you, this is reality in the kingdom of God. And this is the privilege that we have to walk. This is a privilege that we have to serve this city. This is the privilege that we have to serve this region with. Why am I saying all that? I'm saying it because we've been bringing in some pretty radical ministries. We've been bringing in some people that a lot of people think, what's that for? I don't really get it. Do I want to be a part of that? Do I want to give up my Saturday night to hang out with Pastor Bob and Dave and Ben Overly in the Overloads? I mean, what's the value of it? I'll tell you what the value of it is. This is the value. The hardworking farmer must be the first partakers of the fruit. If you are part of a revival church, then you've got to be revived. You know, you've seen, everybody who's flown has seen the steward, the stewardesses, when they do the thing with the mask. And they say, if this cabin should happen to lose air pressure, if it would happen to just, whoosh, you can't breathe anymore, take care of yourself first. Now that seems selfish. It seems like, take care of yourself first. What do you mean take care of yourself first? Well, if you don't take care of yourself first, you're not going to be able to take care of others who will depend upon you being healthy to take care of them. See, the hardworking farmer must be first partaker of the fruit. I mean, there's a time when a farmer, an infant farmer, who's, you know, little Johnny, who's going to follow dad's footsteps, and he's fed for a season. While he's an infant, while he's a young man, he's fed. But there has to come a time when Johnny starts to plant and water and plow for himself so that he can then partake of the labors of his fruit. I want to encourage you, most of you sitting in this house are not little farmers. You've been around this thing a long, long time. And there's something that has got to be where we start to eat of the fruit of revival. Now, the Lord spoke to my heart some months ago. And it was actually after the Lord had spoken in a number of different ways. He said, it's time to quit talking about revival and it's time to have revival. How many know that you can be just as awakened in your inner man as you want to be? How many know that you don't have to wait and pray, oh God, is it your will that I get awakened in my soul? You want to talk about stupid prayers? Oh God, I pray that I'd be awakened to your love. Well, yeah. Start eating. Start partaking. Start devouring. Because if you don't, you're not going to be any good to those that are still waiting to partake and to eat and to devour. So why is the vision for this house so important? That we are a center where, by the grace of God, we can enjoy this presence that we enjoy. You know, we can just get hardened to the presence of God. This is a scary deal, but I hear things that a lot of times many of you don't hear because of pastoring this house. And I hear things where people come in and they say, the presence of God was so incredible there. One guy said, I walked in the door and I almost got blown back out. You know, others last week with the fire starters, the Healing Fire Ministries, one gal said that I haven't wept that hard in years and something's changed inside of me. It's not about weeping. It's not about seeing somebody broken with tears. That's not it. It's about what's going on inside. And whether you do that with tears, whether you do that with laughing and jumping, it really is irrelevant what revival looks like. It's what happens in the hearts of men, women, and children to set them free from the things that keep them from loving God with all abandon. So why do we bring in, and you know, it'd be a whole lot easier as a pastor if I didn't have to worry about doing conferences. It'd be a whole lot easier just to bring people in and not have Saturday night meetings. There's some work, there's commitment that happens when we have these things. It's like, it's not that we haven't counted the cost of what it takes to have revival meetings every other Saturday night. Why do we do it? It's because somehow we have got to be revived so that we can allow what's happening here to explode and to touch our city and to touch our region, which in turn is going to touch our state, which is going to touch our nation, which in turn is going to touch our world. Vision always flows up and down. Vision never stands alone. We aren't just, well, this is our vision, this is our thing. We're just part in a link, in a chain of a larger vision that's orchestrated by the head of the church, Jesus Christ. So what part do you play? If you consider yourself part of Living Waters Church, what part do you play in helping with this vision? I'm going to be talking, actually, the month of February, I'm going to be talking about vision. I just came to realize that I have never really articulated vision as clearly as I really need to. I haven't articulated the reason for the passion, why there is this pursuing something that would be a whole lot easier not to pursue. Wouldn't it be easier just to pursue a nice, simple little gospel that didn't cost anything? No. It'd be easier on the flesh, but I'm telling you, there is something about vision that makes the price seem like it's almost nothing. Jesus, for the things that he saw, the joy that was before him, he was seen beyond the cross when he died on the cross. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame. He was willing to pay the price. He was willing to keep the constraints, the disciplines on him because of the vision that he saw. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God saw something in you. He saw something in me. He saw something in men, women, and children on the planet that he decided, yep, it's worth the price. The vision that I have for people is worth the price. The thing that's in my heart, it's worth the price of my Son, my spotless, innocent, pure, holy Son. It's worth it. I'll pay the price. And Father God sowed his Son into planet Earth so that you and I can sit here today. See, all through the scripture, it's all about a vision that allows us to walk and to pay a price. It's counterintuitive to what is in the world today. The world today says, serve yourself. Serve yourself. I'm going to remember the old gas stations. This is going to be a news flash for some of you that are under probably 30 years old. But did you know that gas stations used to serve you at the gas pump? You used to pull up to the pumps and you sat in your car like you're a king or a queen. And, you know, the attendant would come. And they'd say, what would you like? You'd say, fill her up with regular. Can I check? Okay, sir. Can I check your oil? Can I wash your windows? They wash your windows. They did all this stuff for you. And somebody, some genius came up with this thing as self-service. And we're still stuck in that rut. Where it's now all about self-service. Well, you can save some bucks. How many remember the Metro 500 stations? Metro 500? I paid, once upon a time, in another life, I paid 16.9 cents a gallon for gas. I don't know why the 0.9. I got to have somebody with more understanding of that whole thing explain that to me, where the 0.9 thing comes from. But got to be psychological, you know. If there was a gas station here that you really liked and it was 15 cents a gallon, there was one across the street that was 14.9, how many of us would go to the one that's 14.9? You know, for the grand total of, if you take 10 gallons, you know, 20 gallons, you're going to save 2 cents. Big deal. But the reason I like the Metro 500s is all the rest of the gas stations had these guys serving. The gals would always go to that gas station to see the hot guys. Metro 500 allowed girls to serve. You know, they were the car attendants, and so I liked Metro 500. You know, it was just where I was at, you know. True confessions of a redeemed pastor here. But somehow, vision, there's a price to pay for vision. But vision always has to serve. You were created to serve. In the kingdom, the way up is down. Oh, I want to be a pastor. Have at it. Pastor isn't about ruling. Being a pastor is about serving. Well, in that case, I want to be one of those wild and woolly evangelists that just goes and blasts everybody with the gospel and then dances off into the sunset. Well, that kind of evangelism, I'm not so sure is that effective, number one. But number two, if evangelism doesn't serve a city, if it doesn't serve a church, if it doesn't serve somebody else, then the seeds that you're sown could very well just be lost. See, there's always an issue of who are you serving and why are you serving. We've got to serve somebody bigger than ourselves. This vision has got to serve the vision in the city of Elk River. You know what the vision of the city of Elk River is? Transformation. Put very simply, it's transformation. Seeing a city transformed economically, spiritually, physically, just every aspect of evidences of the kingdom of God coming and invading a city. That's the vision of Elk River. How many want to be on a vision like that? See, and the part that we play in that is unique. And there's probably not another church in this city that can play the part that we can play. How many of you are glad that you don't have a third leg? Or a third arm? I suppose there are times you wish you had an eyeball in the back of your head that, you know, could kind of beep, 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 catch the backing up thing. But, you know, those things aren't needed. I don't need more than one heart. I don't need more than one liver. See, and Elk River doesn't need more than one Living Waters Church. Elk River doesn't need more than one Gateway. Elk River doesn't need more than one Christ Lutheran. And they all play such a great part in the city. They are all contributors into the overall vision of transformation of the city of Elk River. And Living Waters will never do what Christ Church does. Vive la différence, you know. Gateway will never do what Living Waters does. See, there was a time, there was a season where that caused division in the body of Christ, because we weren't seeing the larger body of Christ. We weren't seeing that our vision was in place to serve a larger picture. We've got some upcoming events. Actually, we've got some really, really fun things happening. I'm so excited. I'm just jacked about what's coming. It's not specifically for Living Waters Church. Anything, my prayer, every time that we've done something in the way of conference or seminar, my prayer that I have articulated, my cry before God is that every church in this city, whether they're here, whether they agree, whether they're part of it or not, will receive the same impartation that we receive here. That's just the bottom of my heart's cry, that when we do these things, that it's not just for us, it's for a region. Personally, we talk a lot about the city of Elk River. How many of you are living in Elk River? Okay. Now, how many of you are in the region around? There's a whole lot more, probably about 25, you didn't see, but probably 25% to 75% that live in the region. And so when I talk about the city of Elk River, please just hear me. I'm talking about a region. I'm not talking about, well, let's see, you live outside of these boundaries, and therefore this isn't for you. that just isn't it. But the Saturday night fire that we have going, in your bulletin, you probably got a slip. I really want to encourage you. Give yourself to these. Why? Because the hardworking farmer, those of you who are part of Living Waters Church that have sown into this church financially, physically, emotionally, in every way, you need to come and be partakers of the fruit. And not only that, there's an opportunity for you to serve the larger vision. We've got Craig Grothy coming. This is going to be fun. Craig Grothy, if I would have got, I'm actually preaching my message, okay? I'm just not doing it the way I thought I was going to. Well, that's okay, because we've just had to have this talk. We really have, as the body of Christ in Elk River, in Living Waters. But Craig Grothy is a dream interpreter, quote unquote. That's kind of what he calls himself. Susie and I sat with Craig, and I just came to realize he's a whole lot more than a dream interpreter. You can. Come on up. Use the microphone. Jeff Williamson, for those of you that don't know Jeff, there's a secret about Jeff. He's a pastor. Pastor at a church up in Grand Marais.
Now the secret's out. I went through Craig's seminar in Monticello about 3 years ago, and it was incredible. God had given me a couple of dreams that I didn't really understand, and he was able to help me understand them, and it really set me on a new path vocationally that God was directing. How many of you know God changes directions sometimes, and we're still sitting at the stop sign?
Yeah.
and so I just want to encourage you, if you want to understand more, dreams have a big part to play in your life at times.
Yeah. Good. Thanks, Jeff. See, 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him." Just prior to that, the Apostle Paul is talking about the mysteries, that if the enemy, if the devil, if the ruler of this age would have known the mysteries, they wouldn't have crucified the Son of God. Well, see, there's mysteries. God has chosen the language of the Spirit is mystery. I don't like it. I mean, I just want people to tell. God, just tell me. Come on, just lay it on me. But God chooses to speak in parables. Matthew chapter 13, in between where he tells the parable of the sower and the seed, and then he explains it. He tells why he talks in parables. God has chosen to speak in parables. God chooses to speak by dreams. Craig has seen many dreams as warning dreams. How much tragedy could have been averted, and he has some testimonies of people who have had dreams. The tragedy happened. They didn't realize that God was giving a dream for them to pray into and to call a diversion to the attack of the enemy. Or just to the circumstances of life. I don't necessarily say that somebody gets in a car accident and it was a work of the enemy. I just don't think he's bright enough to do that. Or powerful enough. But there are circumstances of life that God has given people dreams about. And he has seen lives saved. He's also seen where people have had dreams and not taken action, and they've seen the tragedy. It doesn't come with condemnation or anything like that, but dreams are one of the ways that God speaks to his people. What if we raised our children? What if God assisted us with dreams for our children? What if God taught you how to pray and how to intercede and how to specifically go after some things for your children because of a dream? Wouldn't that make it cool? Wouldn't that give some kind of vision? Wouldn't that give some kind of an assurance to your heart? See, and so Craig's come. We bring people in like this to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Dreams, visions, parables, all of these things that the language of the Spirit that we want to begin to walk in as a body, but especially as individuals, especially as a mom and a dad. I wish I would have had this understanding raising my kids. How much heartache could have been diverted in our own lives. So Craig Grothy is coming. It's a Friday night and a Saturday. Now, why are we doing this? Because this is all part of equipping a people for an awakening that's coming. You know, sometimes you may be sitting here and somebody may come to you someday and say, you know, I just had this whacked out dream. And they go and they tell you the dream, and all of a sudden God gives you understanding that there's a part of their heart that can be unlocked because you know what that dream means. That's cool to me. I think it's awesome. So that's it. Craig is coming. We've got Chad and Julia Denman coming, who just move in astounding, miraculous signs, wonders. They're seeing body parts appearing now. I mean, I need a fingernail. You don't know how much I miss that. But again, what's the purpose? Why do we bring a Chad and Julia Denman? The reason that we're bringing a Chad and Julia Denman is because I believe there's impartation into the city and into the region that goes out from here. The explosion that happens here sends out firebrands to different places. One of the greatest pleasures that I think I've had since pastoring is on the night that Kevin Dedman was here, the Sunday night, and everybody's, it just went off like a bomb in here. And people were all over the place. People were on the floor. People, you know, water all over the place and snot rags all over the place. And, you know, just one of those real orderly meetings. And I had the greatest pleasure just standing here and looking and seeing, man, look at so-and-so. I know where he came from. I know the tragedies. I know the struggles. I know where he's been at in life. Look at him. His countenance has changed. His smile is different. He's radiating something. God, really? Look at that person. They came all the way down from Canada. They're going to, and they're just being touched by God. They're going to go back to Canada with what happened here. And look at so-and-so. I know what church they go to, and she's just being just whacked by God, and she's so excited. She's been healed, and she's going to take that back to that church over there. You know, and I tell you, I never had so much pleasure just thinking about the possibilities. I never had so much just incredible satisfaction just thinking, oh, God, you allowed us to be part of something bigger than us here. Register online. Oh, yeah. Register online or back there for Craig Grothy. There will be a meal, and it's $8 for a meal if you want to let us know. And you know, I just want to encourage you, the hardworking farmer, those of you that are a part of this house, I just want a shift in your vision. I want a shift in your mindset. I want an awakening in your souls that these aren't just more meetings to get you strapped into coming to. There is a real purpose with which we are doing these things. And it's part of being a part of something larger. And I tell you, we need help. That's not the purpose for me bringing this, but it is a reason. We need help. Do you know that we as a church, I'll be getting into this maybe next week. I really don't want to go there right now. I'm sorry. I love it when people do that. Do you know what? What? Oh, never mind. I'm sorry. I didn't just do that to you. But I did look at the time and just realize that we need to. There's one other person that we're going to be bringing in towards the fall, a guy by the name of Joaquin Evans. Joaquin Evans runs the healing rooms in Redding, California. And it's just an astonishing place if you've ever been there. It's just this where they have, where you pray for people, but then you go into this other room where you wait to be prayed for. And the atmosphere in there is just crazy. They have a band when we were there. They're almost like a mariachi band. I mean, it was just joyful. It was incredible. People coming in from literally all over the world, hundreds of people from all over the world coming in to have fourth stage cancer, you name it, having stuff prayed for, serious stuff. And they've got a band that is just joyful and rejoicing. They've got a guy, I just love this guy. He's walking around with a walker that evidently somebody had left behind, you know. They got healed and walked out. And this walker has a little red police light on it. And he's got one of those horns like you used to have on your kids' bikes, you know. And he's walking in and out throughout this, you know, serious place where people are being prepared to get prayer for, you know, healing. And he's walking in and out there and people are just getting healed. There's a lady who's standing in there. She's just looking at a picture, a painting. She had fourth stage brain cancer. I mean, she's in rough shape. And she's standing there looking at a painting that says hope on it. And all of a sudden, her ear starts leaking. Next thing you know, she's totally healed. See, there's just things that eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, it hasn't entered into our hearts yet, the things that God has prepared for us as a body and prepared for this city and this region. But God is revealing them to us by His Spirit. And He's comparing spiritual things with spirit. And if we're giving ourselves to these spiritual things, the flesh doesn't profit anything. And in the spirit man, we're going to begin to understand some mysteries of how God wants to release healing, how God wants to set the captives free. How many would love to see it if we in this city began to understand how to destroy systemic poverty, a system that keeps people entrenched in, confined to, bound in poverty? You know, the three things that God's speaking to us this year, remember? Three. The three things. Prosperity of soul that we've been talking about. We're going to be moving into what it means to be a body. What it means body life. What it means to be a church. What it means to be brothers and sisters gathered under a vision as a church. We're going to start talking about that some. And the reason for it all is to take it outside of the walls to where it begins to touch the poor. Not just the financially poor, relationally poor, spiritually poor. Those that are dying with disease. How many know that many times the outer disease, many times, not all the times, but many times an outer disease is just a manifestation of an inner sickness. See, and we've got the answers. In Christ, we've got the answers. But there is a price that must be paid. It's not a popular subject to talk in 21st century America. We're just not about paying a price anymore. The great generation did that. We kind of rebounded off of that to think that, you know, freedom. I got freedom. I don't owe anybody anything but to love. Well, that's true. You ever looked at the 1 Corinthians chapter 13 definition of love? It's not about your individual freedom and happiness. It's about serving others. It's about giving yourselves to something that's bigger than you. Giving yourself to somebody else. I think
the month of February, we're just going to pursue some of these things. We're going to go for some of these things. You with me?
Yeah.
Oh, come on up, Candy. We'll close. We're going to close. We're running toward the end of things, but come on up, Candy.
Just two things. Before Pastor Dave spoke, after the worship, there was a moment when the little boy, I couldn't see what was going on, but when I heard the sound, it sounded like shattering glass. And then the second thing, he did it again, and he had some quarters, and he hit this board. But the Lord, I said, I've heard that sound, and it was the pitch of the shattering glass, and it's at a Jewish wedding when the glass is broken. It's very profound, I thought. And then I just wanted to tell you also, as far as the conference, the Monday before I had taken, before the conference started, I'd taken Ron in for, was it Monday? Yeah. Chest pain, and it turned into a quadruple bypass, and an unplanned one. And the whole day, the night before and the whole day, I had this perfect peace, and I just can't describe it except that I just felt that Ron and I were two birds in the Lord's hands, just caught.
Yeah.
And nothing that was said, nothing that was, no thoughts. It was a total protection that was given. And I just thank the Lord so much for that. But then when the actual surgery was going on, Terry Estenson showed up. And Terry and his camera. So then that was before. I think Terry was part of our family when the doctor came out, and it was just, I can't tell you what it meant to me. I had my best friend who doesn't know the Lord, and then his brothers and his dad, and then Terry. And Terry just fit right in. So then Ron was in surgery, and then his surgery took an hour less than they anticipated. They were anticipating doing 4 or 5 vessels. And so then at 3 o'clock I worked, and I work at Mercy. It was 3:07, and the doctor came and talked to all of us. And so I go up and change for my unit on labor delivery. And as I get up to my unit and I get to my front desk and my charge nurse is there, all of a sudden it's code blue OR, code blue OR. And my charge nurse looks up at me as I'm walking up, and I look at her, and I said, "It's not him. It's not him." And it wasn't. Yeah, But, I mean, the perfect peace that I'm talking about would keep a nurse from having that surge, you know. So then he gets out of surgery, and I'm at work at that time. They called me and said to come, the doctor will come talk to you. And then I get there, and there's Brian O'Malley. And it just, and the big part of that is I was part of another church for a lot of years, and it hurt when I left, and it grieves me now, the pain for that church. But on that day, I can just tell you that you are my church family, and I've held back from you. But I just want to say thank you, and it just feels so good.
Yeah.
Well, let's stand together. I want to pray. I feel like I have something very specifically I want to pray over us. If you need prayer, once I'm done praying, we'll dismiss. But if you need prayer for anything, emotional. I really believe that God is going to be anointing this house, that there's an increase in anointing just to break depression, to break mental illness, and just to break that stuff that keeps people from seeing who they are in Christ. How many know that a darkness that settles on your heart obscures the vision of who you are, who God has created you to be? And if you want prayer for anything, if you need physical healing, anything, we'll have some prayer teams up here. But just, if this is your heart, would you just pray with me? I don't quite know anyways. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for an opening, a vision in this house. Father, I pray for an awakening, a vision in this house. Father, I pray that we'd be awakened to your Father's vision over our children, over our youth. I pray that you'd awaken our hearts to the vision that we have as mothers and fathers in this house. Father, I pray that you would awaken, Jesus, your love as a bridegroom over this house. The vision that I've just had going through my head through the last few days is like a sleeping princess. Can you just imagine those areas of your life that you're like a sleeping princess? And Jesus is even now just leaning down to kiss you and to awaken you. That the kiss of the Lord Jesus to awaken those sleeping places in your heart aren't meant for just a one-time awakening, but it's meant for a life to be lived happily ever after. Over this next week, I would really trust that God wants to begin to speak to our hearts about those areas of our life that are sleeping, that are slumbering. Those areas where our love needs to be awakened. Holy Spirit, I pray that you just bring to remembrance, Father, bring to light an awakening, God, that this is the call. Revival, awakening is what you've got as a call upon this house. And Father, we are pursuing as hardworking farmers the first fruits, to be partakers of the first fruits of revival and awakening. And the joy, the gladness, the freedom, everything that manifests from that. But Jesus, we declare that you're the center, that it's all about you. That the Father had a vision of a faithful bride, a habitation for the Holy Spirit. Would you just release vision and awakening in this house? God, that we would see things that we'd never seen before. Individuals would see things in their lives being awakened, that parents would begin to get godly vision, father's dream for their children, and be able to speak that into them, to be able to train them up in the way that they should go. Lord, we just confess that this is bigger than us. It's way bigger. But Lord, you've called us into a large place. You've called us in this place of a prosperous soul. And that's a large place. Expand. Expand the tent stakes of our mind to be able to say yes. The places that are awakened in our hearts to go wholeheartedly where you want us to go. Father, bless this body. Bless every man, woman, and child. Father, I pray for release, joy, gladness, purpose, destiny, just to be awakened. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. If you live in or are planning to travel to the Elk River area, we invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service at 9:30 a.m. each week. For directions and to learn more about our church, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org.